Chapter 7. In Jeruco, in the Havana province, a town of only 2,000 inhabitants, the deaths from smallpox averaged 7 a day for the month of December, and while Frederick Remington and I were there, 6 victims of smallpox were carried past us up the hill to the burying ground in the space of 12 hours. There were Spanish soldiers as well as Pacificos among these, for the Spanish officers either know or care nothing about the health of their men. There is no attempt made to police these military camps, and in Jeruco the filth covered the streets and the plaza ankle deep, and even filled the corners of the church which had been turned into a fort, and had hammocks swung from the altars. The huts of the Pacificos, with from 4 to 6 people in each, were jammed together in rows a quarter of a mile long, within 10 feet of the cavalry barracks, where 60 men and horses had lived for a month. Next to the stables were the barracks. No one was vaccinated, no one was clean, and all of them were living on half rations. Jeruco was a little worse than the other towns, but I found that the condition of the people is about the same everywhere. Around every town, and even around the forts outside of the towns, you will see from 100 to 500 of these palm huts, with the people crouched about them, covered with rags, starving, with no chance to obtain work. In the city of Matanzas the huts have been built upon a hill, and so far neither smallpox nor yellow fever has made headway there. But there is nothing for these people to eat either, and while I was there 3 babies died from plain, old-fashioned starvation, and no other cause. The government's report for the year just ended gives the number of deaths in 3 hospitals of Matanzas as 380 for the year, which is an average of a little over 1 death a day. As a matter of fact, in the military hospital alone the soldiers during several months of last year died at the rate of 16 a day. It seems hard that Spain should hold Cuba at such a sacrifice of her own people. In Cardenas, one of the principal seaport towns of the island, I found the Pacificos lodged in huts at the back of the town, and also in abandoned warehouses along the waterfront. The condition of these latter was so pitiable that it is difficult to describe it correctly and hope to be believed. The warehouses are built on wooden posts about 50 feet from the water's edge. They were originally nearly as large in extent as Madison Square Garden, but the half of the roof of one has fallen in, carrying the flooring with it, and the adobe walls and one side of the sloping roof, and the high wooden piles on which half of the floor once rested are all that remain. Some time ago an unusually high tide swept in under one of these warehouses and left a pool of water 100 yards long, and as many wide, around the wooden posts, and it has remained there undisturbed. This pool is now covered a half inch thick with green slime, colored blue and yellow, and with a damp fungus spread over the wooden posts, and up the sides of the walls. Over this sewage are now living 300 women and children and a few men. The floor beneath them has rotted away, and the planks have broken and fallen into the pool, leaving big gaps, through which rise day and night deadly stenches, and poisonous exhalations from the pool below. The people above it are not ignorant of their situation. They know that they are living over a death trap, but there is no other place for them. Bands of guerrillas and flying columns have driven them in like sheep to this city, and, with no money, and no chance to obtain work, they have taken shelter in the only place that is left open to them. With planks and blankets and bits of old sheet iron they have, for the sake of decency, put up barriers across these abandoned warehouses, and there they are now sitting on the floor, or stretched on heaps of rags, gaunt and hollow-eyed. Outside, in the angles of the fallen walls, and among the refuse of the warehouses, they have built fireplaces, and, with the few pots and kettles they use in common, they cook what food the children can find or beg. One gentleman of Cardenas told me that 100 of these people called at his house every day for a bit of food. Old Negroes and little white children, some of them as beautiful, in spite of their rags, as any children I ever saw, act as providers for this hapless colony. They beg the food and gather the sticks, and do the cooking. Inside, the old women and young mothers sit on the rotten planks listless and silent, staring ahead of them at nothing. I saw the survivors of the Johnstown flood, when the horror of that disaster was still plainly written in their eyes, but destitute as they were of home and food and clothing, they were in better plight than those fever-stricken, starving pacificos, who have sinned in no way, who have given no aid to the rebels, and whose only crime is that they lived in the country instead of in the town. They are now to suffer because General Wheeler, finding that he cannot hold the country as he can the towns, lays it waste and treats those who lived there with less consideration than the Sultan of Morocco shows to the murderers in his jail at Tangier. Had these people been guilty of the most unnatural crimes, their punishment could not have been more severe nor their end more certain. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.